alien, and we've got to go in and get it.
JB pushed his wire-rimmed spectacles up on the bridge of his nose, a nervous gesture in times of stress. It was just about the only sign the ice-cold armorer ever showed.
Chill a whole vill? Wipe them out with whatever we can find in the armory here? Without knowing, that's a hell of a task.
We've been in worse than this. I'll go to Alien as soon as we've told Jack and Dean. Fire Blast, where the hell are they? Always when you need them, Dean is off somewhere getting himself in shit.
Like his father?
Ryan looked at her with a smirk on his face.
Guess so. Okay, I'll go and see the Baron now. If Dean and Jack should bother to let us know what the fuck they're doing, then tell them.
But the one-eyed warrior didn't get a chance to voice his thoughts as Jack burst into the unit, gulping breath from his journey.
Ryan, trouble.
Jack explained what had happened in his search, ending with,
So need get Dean out.
Sec Chief's behind Jenna. That's gonna mean a whole lot of trouble, especially if Alien's in on it all.
Ryan shook his head.
I don't think so. Don't ask me why, but I just trust him, and it feels right. What do you think, Christy?
I'm kind of with you on that, lover, but Jenna's got me worried. It depends what kind of a hold she has on the Baron.
True. I guess we'll just have to play this one by ear.
Alien was in his unit, although being the Baron of Ra, the term unit was perhaps inappropriate. It lay at the rear of the main hall, with the entrance behind the long table and the old drapes. Ra being the kind of ill it was, he had no set guard, and when Ryan cautiously pulled back the drapes, he found the Baron sprawled across his large bed, covered in the finest linen and velvet that could be found in Ra. The covers were thrown back, revealing the Baron's torso, running to middle-aged flab, but still heavily muscled and crossed with scars that attested to his courage in leading his people. His long beard rested on his chest, his long white hair untied and covering his face, and he was snoring and wheezing softly. In stark contrast to the white of Alien, Jenna was a dark pool on his skin, her jet black and flowing hair spreading in tendrils across him, her darker skin smooth and young against him. Ryan found his eyes drawn to her small breasts, her dark nipples erect where they brushed against her husband. She was awake, her glittering raven eyes catching Ryan's azure blue orb, twinkling at him with a superior smile that made him suddenly look away. In her triumph, she sent out a psychic wave that made Christy feel nauseous and ill at ease.
Well, excuse us.
Mildred spoke to allay the rising gorge within her. She didn't have Christy's seeing power, but as when she had first seen Jenna, she felt the same wave, albeit in a milder form. Jenna rose from the bed, making no attempt to cover herself, and knowing that her petite and shapely frame was drawing the eyes of the three men present, feeling their gaze run down from her sharp face to her erect nipples. She knew that they would want her instinctively, and drew on that for her own strength.
Do you make a habit of insulting your hosts?
There's no insult intended.
Ryan picked his words and tried to focus. He knew she was deliberately toying with them all, and attempted to overcome that feeling.
We just need to speak to Alien. Urgently.
But as you can see, he's asleep.
Alien grunted, showing no signs of being awakened by the disturbance. Ryan decided to pitch his words somewhere between a request and an order.
Then maybe you should wake him.
Jenna's raven eyes gleamed and glittered, flashing a mixture of hatred and lust at the one-eyed warrior. For a moment, there was a stalemate. Then, just as suddenly as she had begun, Jenna averted her gaze and shook the slumbering Baron. Her expression suggested she harbored nothing but contempt for him.
Wake up!
Alien awoke with a groan, mumbling and rising on one elbow to stare blearily at the sight before him. He was only half awake and unsure why there were people in his room. His brow furrowed as he recognized the intruders.
What is the meaning of this, Ryan Carter?
Ryan held up both of his hands.
We need to talk to you, and there's no need to reach for your blaster.
Alien smiled and withdrew his hand from under the cushions and pillows that covered the far end of the bed. As he had been questioning the one-eyed man, he had slipped that hand, unobtrusively he hoped, toward the cushions in search of the concealed blaster.
How did you know I had one there?
Even the fairest Baron in the most peaceful vill can't take chances against an enemy from within.
Ryan's eye flickered toward Jenna as he spoke, almost involuntarily. If she noticed, she gave no sign. Alien was now fully awake and alert.
Very well. then tell me what it is you're wanting.
So Ryan began. Doc described what he had seen in Samtvogel, and when Jenna interjected with a query as to how the old man knew so much about pre-dark tech, Doc bluffed his way out of it with a story about finding a stash of old vids in a vill during his travels. She didn't seem convinced, but Mildred hurried the proceedings along with a query to the Baron as to whether they could attack Samtvogel with any degree of stealth. Alien stroked his long beard, twisting it between his fingers in intense concentration.
Well, I'd have to consult Hob to be really sure, but there isn't any safe way of hiding a large sec force along that route. It's too open. But those muty fucks don't come out of the vill that often. So maybe if we sent scouting parties ahead...
We have to get that nuke. Sunshot is pissed off, and if he has any idea how to use that thing...
Jenna all of a sudden spoke up.
I agree. We should get it as soon as possible.
And as she said it, Christy shuddered, her hair coiling about her neck. The Titian-haired woman's seeing traits rose to the fore as Jenna sent out an unconscious wave of pure hate. She wanted that nuke for her own purposes. Christy knew at that moment that recovering the missile from Samtvogel would be but the beginning of their problem. While this raced through her mind, Ryan had swiftly moved the subject on to his missing son. It was a difficult matter to broach, as Ryan's people were all firmly of the opinion that Jenna had him secured someplace. But it was up to Ryan to raise the matter without arousing the Dark Mutie's suspicion. The One-Eyed Warrior outlined the barest details of Dean's disappearance, and the Baron was suitably sympathetic.
We'll get Raw searched while we raise a raiding party.
By now he had risen from the bed and was dressing, pulling on the freshly cleaned fatigues that marked him as the Baron. Others in the vill had clothes that were patched and darned many times, repaired and faded. But as Baron, Alien had the pick of any new stock from a passing trader. When he finished, he picked up a cupped speaking tube and blew down it. Jack had noticed many small runs of similar tubes during his explorations of the winding underground vill, and had wondered what they were for. That question was now answered. They were a means of quick communication between the links vital to Raw's sec. A whistle from the far end of the speaking tube announced that the sec chief had answered. From where the companion stood, it was difficult to make out what he said, but there was no mistaking Alien's meaning from his loud bellowing. He ordered the sec chief to get his ass over right away, and before he had finished lacing his boots, the sec chief appeared in the doorway. Jack wasn't the only one to notice that the sec chief's eyes dwelled lustfully on Jenna's naked form. There was a look in his eye that also suggested a familiarity with her form. For the albino, this put a few things together in his mind. Alien barked out the situation to the sec chief, beginning with the missile and ending with Dean's disappearance. The sec chief's next word surprised everyone.
Perhaps the muties got Cyclops Jr.
Dark night, has the triple stoop got a dose of red poisoning?
Ryan stared at the sec chief coldly, suddenly remembering the corpses of the six children.
You gonna explain what you mean?
Harvey matched Ryan's stare.
Just exactly what I say. Chances of the boy going astray in Raw are next to nothing. Where the hell could he be? I reckon there was a revenge party out for more kids. Maybe some kind of sacrifice to appease their gods or something. And young Cotter got caught.
Well, you could be right there, Harv. Sure as shit can't imagine where he could be in here.
The Baron looked at Ryan. His face was so open that the One-Eyed Warrior had no doubt he believed the sec chief completely.
Maybe we should get that party underway and land two prizes.
And if Dean is an insant vogel?
Then we'll mount a search when we return. Trust me, Ryan Carter. There's little harm the boy can come to in Raw.
I do trust you. That's not the problem.
His eye met Jenna's gaze. She seemed to peer deep into him, and despite himself, he felt a stirring in his loins. It took some effort to look away. The raiding party assembled in the main hall about 2 hours later by JB's wristchron. The armorer had taken more of an interest in these proceedings than in the assembly of the interception force the previous day. There were a number of problems that presented themselves to any sec chief who wanted a raiding party of sharpness and quality assembled at such a short notice. To begin with, the armorer doubted that the previous day's blasters had been stripped and cleaned. One of the first things he had learned during his time with Traitor, before Ryan had even joined the infamous party on Traitor's Warwag 1, was that pre-dark blasters needed regular cleaning and overhauling. When the large stockpiles had first been found, the weapons had been taken from their packing cases, and in some instances were immediately capable of being fired. But for many, the years of being stacked and inactive had led to the grease drying out, the bearings seizing, working parts being